Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Blog Talk? This is Adorable P with LG's Up, and I'm sorry for the delay today. I'm back in L.A., and you know everything moves fast in L.A. We got a great lineup. I just have to make sure I get them all in line for you today, you know. But we got some hot stuff going on with Lord Gang Worldwide. We have some great new additions to our family this week, to the Lord Gang family, and I'm very excited about that. We got some great activities like the Balling for Peace going on today. We got the 613 anniversary going on today. We got Teddy Raleigh in town today over with DJ Doc at KJLH. Man, I mean, when I say we got hot stuff going on, we really got hot stuff going on with Lord Gang Worldwide. We got our DJs jumping off all over the place. You know, I'm just so excited. I just don't know what to do. What I need to do is also tell you about some other hot things we got going on, like Frank White dropped this new hot single with Monica this weekend, and I'm going to try to get that on. Also, Baby Sham dropped a new one, and we're going to try to get that one on also, you know. But for right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut over, and I'm going to give y'all a little of P. Wilson out of Las Vegas and his song No More.
No more, no more, no more. No more fooling around. No more lights on the ground with the prettiest girl that's around. I promise there'll be no more.
Adorable P and Lorenzo Sam. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, what's up, baby? It's all good.
Nothing, man. I was telling them about all the hot stuff that's going on with Lord Gang Worldwide, but why don't you tune them in to what's going on with Lord Gang Comedy?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, we really got a lot on our plate as it relates to 2008. We're going to start 2008 off with a comedy slash old school R&B concert at the Super Bowl. We have the official Super Bowl after party, which is going to consist of a couple comics, myself and a couple other comics, along with Teddy Riley, Guy, Blackstreet, Keep Sweat, Heavy D, Big Daddy Kane, some of the other old school artists that Teddy's bringing back. And basically the goal is to give back that good feel music with some comedy and some entertainment. So it's going to be big. 2008 is going to be extremely big.
Okay, that sounds hot. I can't wait. You know, I also found out last night that at that official after party, we also have our Lord Jack DJ Jammin' Jack that's going to be on the ones and twos.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what it's about. It's about empowering the independents and, you know, all of us coming together, the one umbrella of Lord Gang, and making it happen. And it's not going to stop there. That's just the start of it. That's going to be the birth of the movement. And what we're going to bring to the people is a complete show, comedy with that old school feel good music, you know, DJ by DJ. So, you know, it's coming to a city near you.
Man, that sounds really hot and really exciting. I cannot wait. You know, I know also we got Silky D, who's also Lord Gang Worldwide, that's finna kick off satellite, via satellite and radio, the Beat Lounge downtown LA. You know, so that's really hot, and I can't wait for Silky to kick that off. Right now you can catch her on BeatLoungeRadio.com, and, you know, she really got her thing going on. Also, over at SwerveRadio.com, man, we got a whole lot going on over at Swerve. You know, we're finna go out and we're finna hang out with MMP and Twister and do the live broadcast on that side. You know, we got so many new avenues that's coming out with Swerve Radio. We're up to like 45 DJs worldwide, and those DJs, I must say, not only because I'm the MD, I promise you, they're the hottest DJs that we can find to put on radio in one spot. So I'm really excited about it because we have, not only do we have Lord Gang DJs on there, we have Bum Squad, we got the Core, we got the Heavy Hitters, we got the Hood Hard DJs. Man, any DJ coalition that's out there right about now is probably on Swerve. So I think that's hot, really, really hot. You know. Yeah. So, hey, let's catch our other caller from 646. You know, once I can take them off of mute, we'll be all good here. Hey, thank you for calling LG's up. Tell us what you got going on today.
Nothing. You know, I'm over here at the Sandbox. We're about to shoot a newscast, P-Dash News in a Flash. It's news for the hood, news for the people. But we put a little, you know, a little bit of humor in it. The anchorman's actually a puppet named Raheem Drinkwater, you know. And basically it's just our way of, you know, telling people what's going on, but, you know, attracting the youth to being able to pay attention to the news slowly but surely by putting a little humor in everything.
Explain what Sandbox is to people, because a lot of people don't know what Sandbox is.
Sandbox TV is the premier internet television representing, you know, urban culture, hip-hop culture worldwide. We have about 60 channels, everyone from Lord of the Underground, Lil Mama, Saigon got a channel for his Abandoned Nation movement, representing hip-hop uncensored. Even the NAACP has a channel with us. So really, we build technology, we produce, we distribute, and kind of work our ass off to try and let everybody know as much as possible that media is now in our hands and we can express ourselves the way we want to now.
Hey, man, that's hot. That is very hot. Now, if someone wanted to try to get a channel on Sandbox TV, what would they need to do or who would they need to contact?
Well, you can contact me, Manu, M-A-N-U, at sandboxtv.com. You can go to info@sandboxtv.com, or you can go on sandboxtv.com and hit us on the contact form inside that. Just hit about us, and you'll get all the information you need.
Okay, that's really, really hot, you know. But, you know, I don't want to keep you too long since you are in the actual process of filming, but I definitely needed you to run through and let everybody know what Sandbox TV was all about, especially since Lord Gang does have a channel there.
Exactly, yeah. We definitely representing Lord Gang, loving the movement. It's beautiful to see that hip-hop is spread so far and that, you know, Lords of the Underground have never gone away. The fan base is huge, and there's such a support team around them, you know, because good hip-hop will never die. You know, they'll never die, you know, no matter what they say. So,
you said the key words, good hip-hop.
Exactly, you know. All this other stuff I can't really speak for. All this other stuff I can't really speak for, but we know real. And LG's definitely keeping it real, so that's a beautiful thing.
You know what?
Another thing about Sandbox, this is Lorenzo from Lord Gang Comedy, is... You know, when people, like, it's good to talk about it, but people really need to see the visual. You know, when they log on to it, you know, the art and the web design is just incredible. It's straight out of art. And another thing that's great about it is it gives you a chance to get the real news of what's going on.
Exactly.
You know? And it's like, you know, channel 5, 7, 9, and 11 are only going to tell you what Push wants you to know. You know, and this is an opportunity for you to log on and get a feel for different areas in the world and what's going on and, you know, the everyday life of average people in America that don't normally get that hype.
Exactly. And you get, you know, this gives a chance for people to really understand, I mean, not only from the artists, from the producers, you know, and the film producers, how hard a grind it is to even be doing what you're doing. You know,
absolutely.
People sometimes they see the end product, they don't realize, wow, this was a big push, and that people who keep in the game do it because they love it, not because they're looking for money. That might be an outcome, but the real thing is the love of what they're doing. And most people in this game can't come out of some form of poverty at the very most. You know, a working class system, and are trying to strive for better things. And people don't really understand sometimes until you see it, how hard and how real it is to get to where you are.
Right. Because, you know, Lord Gang Comedy, man, our vision on Sandbox TV is to provide shows. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be uploading shows, whether they're 5-minute, 10-minute, you know, 4 or 5 comedians or whatever the case may be, different skits. But what we want to do is, man, we want to give the public an opportunity to, you know what, times are hard. If you want to just, you know, you might be at work and you want to click over and just laugh at a skit real quick. You know, you don't always have to go, man, I don't even know what Def Jam is, or I got to go pay $25 to get in this show and wait in line and buy tickets online. You know, we're going to the people and say, hey, you know what, if you want to laugh, click in. You know,
exactly.
Because as we get those fans, when we come to their town for a show, they will come out of appreciation of what we're giving them on a regular.
Exactly. Yep. And it's about letting the people decide. You know, we've become accustomed to letting radio stations, the big media companies decide what we find entertaining. Now it's about the people deciding what they find entertaining.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, with technology, see, they made a mistake. They made a mistake and let technology go into the hands of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, back in the day when you only had the major record labels and the major studios, and, you know, they were the only ones with the cameras and the technology. They've been getting over on us for years. But now we have all the equipment that the majors have, and we can communicate, and we can create our own society.
Exactly. Now the full story will be told, because, you know, we're too used to believing the hype, you know, and that hip hop or urban culture or anything out there is always has a one sided slant, you know, and people don't realize how much is going on, how many young, intelligent people there are out there constantly trying to make this world better. You know, what they don't understand is because they only see it from one side, the Fox side, you know, the NBC side, you know, and we're not really trying to stop them from showing their side, because they've been in the game too long. But if people can choose and see that there are many sides to the story, then that's when things are going to change.
Absolutely. So like I said, man, I'm the co-host of this show, but I just wanted to show love to you, man, and say, hey, Sandbox TV is hot. We appreciate what you're doing. And from Lord Gang Comedy, man, we coming with it. We going to come with it, and we going to bring people to the site, and it's going to be a good look.
That's what's up, yo. We behind you all the way. LG's up. I got to jump off, but, you know, you guys got a beautiful thing going on, and we're always behind you.
Yes, sir. Yes, LG.
LG's up.
LG's up.
Peace, guys.
Hey, Lorenzo, we also got L.A. Dre and Baby Sham that I'm going to get ready to bring on. They
okay, let's bring them on. Let's talk to them.
Man.
L.A. Dre. He's got to be old school.
Wait a minute. Let me check real quick here.
L.A. Dre. Is that L.A. or Louisiana? I got to find out.
You got to find out which one it is. So let's
Yeah. Or it could be Little Arkansas.
Let's
be wrong. That's country.
let's
you
see.
You a Baby Sham there?
Sham.
Yo.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey,
I'm doing
a radio show.
What it do?
Yo, what's good?
Everything, everything, man. Working.
I know that's right. Is this is L.A. Dre?
No, this L.A. Dre right here.
Oh, okay. L.A., what is it? Is it Los Angeles, Louisiana, Little Arkansas? What L.A. you repping?
Little Australia.
Okay, all right.
L.A., man.
All right. Okay, what's good, man?
Man, chilling, bro. What's up with you?
Oh, man, you know, we just making it happen, man, keeping the independent movement going.
I feel you.
That's what it is.
I got Sam on here from Flip Mode.
Hey, give us an update of what's going on with y'all. You know, it's all kind of rumors going on here and there, flying all over the place. But we don't deal with rumors. We go straight to the source, and we want to know what's going on with Baby Sham.
Right now, you know, first the comments about, you know, the Rampage thing. I don't know if y'all heard about it, but the Rampage situation about the FMS, Famous Millionaire Squad, you know what I mean? Like, that name is not, you know, sticking right now. That's not what it is. Baby Sham is doing his own thing, recording, still keeping in touch with Flip Mode, Busta Rhymes, you know what I mean? Everybody is doing their own thing, spreading their own wings right now, but, you know, I'm working on my up-and-coming new album, you know, new movements right now, you know, and just leaking out singles right now at the time and just doing shows right now.
That's what's up. Stay on the hustle, baby.
New movements.
We're going to definitely we're gonna drop your new single as soon as I finish getting it loaded up.
Oh, that's what it is.
You know,
do something about it. That's in stores right now. That's on the four-course meal mixtape. That's been released on the Flip Mode.
Yeah.
Okay, man, that song is hot. I actually had a chance to listen to it, and it is hot.
Oh, that's
hot.
What's
it's
up.
Just,
thank
it's
you.
Really
appreciate
hot.
It.
You know,
that is what it is.
We're actually going to play it. We're gonna preview it right here today.
Okay, oh, shucks. That's what it is.
You know, I got to show you love. Nothing but
that's
love.
That's what's up. Appreciate the love.
You know, but what else are you guys working on
right now? Actually, I'm in the lab right now working on some new joints, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hugging the studio. That's what I do, man.
All right. Hey, Dre, what other stuff you got going on? Man, you represent any and everybody. So, you know, tell me what else good you got going on.
Actually, you know, we're going to do the music conference. You already know about that.
Oh, but, you know, I didn't tell the world about the music conference that we're going to hang out in Louisiana and do.
Well, okay. It's easy to inform the world about that. When you get time, you need to let the world know about it. We're going to do this music conference. We got a gang of shows lined up. Me and Sham do. The Sham got to be on their features too as well. You already know the new G Unit joint is getting ready to drop. You already know about that.
We're gonna get them a taste of that too. Not today, but we're gonna give them a taste of that too.
Okay, that'll work. That's good looking. And basically that's really about it. You know, number three damn shows going back to back. I mean, we trying to get some rest time and barely can get that because, you know, people steady call it one of these shows. And that song that you have right now is like one of the hottest songs that's out on radio. So a lot of people is really feeding in that, and they want Sham to come in and do shows off that song too right there. So that song is real
Sham,
hot.
When you coming back to L.A., Sham?
Well, I'm supposed to be out there probably after January 7th or something. That's what I've been told because I got to go out there and talk to Bus. The Bus is out there. So I'm going to be out there probably for like a good 2 or 3 weeks or so, probably recording with him, you know, working on some new joints.
We're going to have to hook up when you come out here, man.
Oh, you already know. Let's go. Come to the lab. Come chill.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and put that song on so they can see what they're missing if they haven't heard it.
That's right. Baby Sham.
They don't know my peeps is deep, man. You can't do nothing about it. If you don't like the way we roll, motherfucker, then do something about it. Yeah, my peeps is deep, man. You can't do nothing about it.
Okay, I guess we teased them a little bit on that one because it didn't upload all of the song. So we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to get it. And before the end of the show, we're going to make sure they hear all of it since they got a little preview that time.
Bang it out for them.
Okay.
Hey, let me ask you, brothers, as you know, some veteran rappers in the game, how do you all feel about the state of hip-hop right now? And before you answer that, let me just give you a little bit of what we're doing. You know, kind of like myself. Myself and some of the old school rappers and R&B singers, man, we're forming a coalition, man, and starting to put shows together with comedy mixed with, you know, that old school R&B that we all grew up on, you know, like Guy and stuff like that, and some of the old school rappers like Big Daddy Kane, Heavy D, and bringing shows, Dougie Fresh, back out and saying, yo, you know what, this is what hip-hop really is to us. You know, we kind of got away from that. I'm just kind of curious, you know, what is your take on hip-hop right now, and how do you feel about it?
Well, basically, personally, like, I mean, hip-hop is going to continuously grow, you know? Like, it's either you could go back, you could have the back-in-the-days joint, you know what I mean? Like for instance, Jay came out with that, with the joint with him and Pharrell, you know what I mean?
Right,
you
right.
Add a little taste to it, so it's not, it just consistently grows, you know what I mean? So by it growing, you got to take steps with it, or you could take steps back. If you go back with the old school flow, cool, but just freak it and put a little swag to it, you know what I mean? But it's just going to consistently grow. It's not, you know, going back there and being Kumo D and with the whole complete look or style. It's going to grow, man. So basically me, I feel like hip-hop is just going to consistently grow, and I'm good with it, and I'm satisfied with it. It ain't dead. It's still alive. You know, it's feeding a lot of families, you know, taking people out from where they don't want to be and moving up in the world, gaining more power. So it's just doing a lot of good things for us, you know what I mean?
Right. So I definitely agree with you, and it's kind of like when I look at hip-hop now, like let's say the new school rappers versus the old school rappers, to me it's like, okay, you can only kill so many people. You can only sell so much dope. You can only pimp so many hoes. You know, and it's like, okay, we kind of overflooded the market with all that. But it's like,
exactly.
like when we, like old school rappers, you know, everybody talked about how cold they were, how bad they were. And then you had your political, your conscious rap, Chuck D, you know, KRS-One and stuff like that. But
yeah.
One of the things I would like to see in hip hop are people talking about, you know, after you make your album, how cold you are, how much money you got, how much bling and all that stuff. Start talking about, like, how are you diversifying into other businesses? How are you growing as an entrepreneur? How is technology, you know, how are you taking your star power and making more money and diversifying, you know, growing in business like Jay-Z? You know, I would like to see more cats like
and
that because,
out.
Yeah.
And when Jay-Z, the thing is, like, when Jay-Z hits a topic, like, I can respect what you're saying. Like, when Jay-Z hits topics on, you know, all the political stuff and things like that, you know, sometimes people do feel like, you know, all right, well, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear this. You understand what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
We don't want to hear that right now. Now you got us thinking too hard. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the
right.
same time, though, it's how you do it. Jay-Z is hitting a political world. You know what I mean? Everybody is not involved with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody
right.
is
hey,
not
guys,
involved.
Right quick,
since
we're on this topic, what I want to do is I want to bring our other three callers on because I think this is a very important topic, and I want all of us to handle it for the last 20 minutes of this. So
let me bring
in all the other callers because I think this is a forum that everybody needs to hear and everybody needs to speak on because we got new school in the house. We got old school in the house. And I just want everybody to be able to speak on this situation because I think it's a very important situation. Hey, do we have Jay from the Push Up Boys? You're on the line, right? Hey, tell us how you feel about this whole situation with the new music because, you know, you've been in a business, but you haven't really been out there yet. And how do you feel about what Baby Sham them were saying?
I mean, I exactly feel where they're coming from. You know, I feel like we need to help each other as a culture, you know, to make it a stronger movement. You know, we ain't got a lot of teachers, you know. It's just a lot of people just getting a lot of money and flossing and somewhat they sending out the wrong image, but that's what the young people is eating up. And the only way to switch that around is to set a different example, like you said about Jay-Z getting his entrepreneurship on and the whole nine.
Mm-hmm. If say for instance, if Jay-Z was to talk about what he talks about politically, but switch it up in a form that even the young people can adapt to, and they're gonna repeat that rhyme, but Jay-Z switched it up in a form where they can adapt to, so now it's stuck in their head. So it's different ways to freak it, but it's just you know just listening and just changing it if you want. And not only if you want, but just, you know, being a strong, you know, a strong leader of what you're trying to put out there, a positive note on what you're trying to do. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm feeling everything that you guys are saying, and I appreciate, you know, everybody speaking on, you know, how they feel, because there really is no right or wrong. It's just your true opinion. But
exactly.
I think my point was, I want to see people grow. Like, for instance, I'm not going to name any names, but there's some MCs, you know, from their first album to their last album, they're still talking about the same streets, the same how they bend the corners, this, that, and the other. So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, okay, you haven't grown as a person. Okay. You know, that's what I'm saying. But Jay-Z, he came from the streets. He got off the streets. Now he's wearing suits, but he's still gutter. And he's going to let you know I can still go back there, but I'm also going here. Let me tell you about this. You know what I mean? And I wish every artist, you know, every artist in every field that you're in should grow. You know, me as a comic, you know, if I'm still talking about the same things that I was talking about 5 years ago, you know what? I haven't grown. I haven't seen other things. I haven't seen other things I want to touch on. I haven't learned. You know what I'm saying? People should grow. I think that's the problem with entertainment, you know, especially black entertainment. You know, these guys are making two or three, four or five of the same albums. They just flipping different words. But it's like, okay, you told me when you was on the street. Now tell me, what did you do with your first 100,000? How did you flip that into something else? Did you get a clothing line? Did you do this? You know, where did you move your mama? Why are you still talking about the projects and you ain't been there in 10 years?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can
you
I speak
mean?
On that? Am I on the line? All right. My name is.
Introduce yourself to
me. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Adrienne. Look, I totally agree with what Lorenzo was saying just now, in that what to me what music is about is an art form, and rappers and hip hop artists are artists first and should be artists first, and an artist is someone who pushes the art form further, someone who creates something, and that has to come from a place of authenticity in order for it to really, really strike people in their heart and in their gut, and you know when it happens. And I think what's happening right now, and what I think is beginning to die off, I think it was a trend more in the past years, and we are seeing a lot of it now, but I also think it's beginning to change because there's such a strong underground movement happening, is that artists really, you know, we're aspirational people just as a culture, and so the artists want to be rich. So there's a formula, and there's a way to get signed. You talk about these six things, you talk with this style, you get with this producer, and it's a complete formula. Well, there's no authenticity in a formula. It's dead. And I think that's how you get in that situation where somebody's rapping about the same thing for 10 albums straight, and you go like, God, really? It can't be, that can't be the truth. And I'm encouraged right now, though, because I really do feel like people are becoming aware. Hip-hop is maturing, and I think that there's enough generations of us now where people are able to say, dang, you know what? That's whack. And I can tell somebody, like, when, you know, there's enough of us now who knew the other stuff back in the day and can tell the difference. Like, it was fresh back then, and now it's starting to get a little bit stale, so let's put some new freshness back in it, and we'll wop the whole thing, take the old school with the new school with something we haven't ever heard before, and just, like the brother was saying, just encourage each other and be supportive of all of it, because, you know, really, we're just all human beings trying to do our best.
Yeah,
but you know what, though? To make a long story short, this L.A. Dre, though. I think, and this is just my opinion on this, I think, you know, just like when Big Man was talking about, you know, like the old school music and all of that, I think a lot of artists, if you notice, a lot of artists, when they go back and they use that old school music, if they go back and get that Dougie Fresh, or they go back and they get that KRS-One and they redo it and they put it out there, you'd be surprised. Record sales shoot up. They sell more albums when they sell the older. They sell more albums using old school music than they do coming up with a beat.
Right. Absolutely.
If it won the first time, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, you're right, man. If it won the first time, why wouldn't it win again?
Exactly.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah. Am I on the line?
Hello?
Yeah, who is that?
Carolina Music Awards, OENT. Exactly what the two things. Hip-hop is definitely maturing, so I think we're going to see some of the, you know, the maturity. We can get some of the things out of it that are repetitious. But at the same time, I just came from a conference, and some of the same people are saying, well, why do we have people rapping about 10 albums? And I think it's just like anything else in the market. You're going to have your Jay-Z's, but no matter what, it's a unfortunate but necessary evil, you're going to have those people who just follow that formula. You're not going to be able to create a structure where they're always out. Those individuals are going to still be in the industry, and I don't think there's anything that we can do to absolutely put them out. It's just you have all types, and just like anything else in the world, you're going to have all types of people. That I don't think that part of it is ever going to stop. It's the only thing that we can do is try to support and to push forward the people who are evolving, the people who are taking their music and creating business savvy after they get into the industry. And then to go in to speak to my personal market, our problem or issue in the Carolinas is a barrier to entry. We have a challenge. That's why we started the Carolina Music Awards, and I was able to hook up with people, you know, like At Swerve and Cool V and different people like that to say, hey, we want to put forth this event, put forth awards not only within our market but outside of our market to show the value of the market and keep people from our market trying to, because everybody in this market, not everybody, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people here are trying to follow that formula because they also believe that's the only way that they can get heard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to say that, hey, you can be original, you can have strong music, you can create a regional sound. You don't have to do the Atlanta sound, the Florida sound, the New York, the Chi, the Midwest.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
You should be strong in what you are. But because I saw a documentary on Jay one time, and he was like, even some of his artists on Rockefeller, they were scared to say what they really wanted
to say because they're afraid.
And that's what I told my guys in the market. I was like, look, you know, poor, rich, make it, not make it. You got to stay with what you believe in. And that's
right.
a hard
Let me say one more thing on to elaborate on that situation. It's Jay from the Push Up Boys. I also feel like it's not no secret that a percentage of us come from the hood. You know, that's not no secret. You know, they continue to rap about it. I feel it's like they have a stronger effect once you make that transition from the hood to some type of success. But when they get that some type of success, they still acting a fool, and it's making a stronger impact on the kids because they see T.I. get caught with 20 straps. Everybody want to, you know, they want to live up to that image instead of seeing T.I. opening up a business or a recreation center. Like, they ain't following the right thing. It's just, I feel like once you get that success as a star, you responsible to change your mentality because you got so many people looking up to you.
Yeah,
well,
I think
you know what? But you know what? Times has really changed, though. When you look at that whole situation, times has really changed bad. And when
right.
I tell you that, when you look at, okay, just like, for instance, Interscope laid off 20 people yesterday.
Right.
And you got Def Jam that laid off people. All of these major labels are laying off people because record sales are so low. Artists are not selling. Now it makes that artist, when an artist used to sit on their ass and don't move, and they can
right.
just make money, they can't do that no more. Artists really
right.
got to get out there and hustle now. They really got to get out there and really hustle and get them albums sold. Because if you don't get them albums sold, they handing you a pink slip to the artist and tell you, hey, look, we don't need you because you ain't selling nothing. You got to go. And, you know, times have changed so bad. When you look at internet that came out, and you're looking at YouTube, you're looking at MySpace, you know, people used to turn around and say, oh, you know what? Oh, man, there go Tupac. You know, oh, man, Pac. You know, people fall down, die because they see Pac. And I knew Pac, used to work with Death Row. And people used to fall down. But now, shit, people look at you now, they'll be like, oh, man, look at my MySpace page. I got 4 million hits. You know, shit, I ain't
right.
about Tupac. You know, shit, look at me. My YouTube
yeah,
video, I got over 200,000 hits on my
YouTube.
And that's
Friend Blaster.
Right. But you know what? But at the same time, when you look at that, people are telling you, hey, look here, I'm going to starve my damn self. I ain't thinking about this other person. And people are actually getting fined off little things. People are selling albums off of what you call the friend thing? Off the friend thing. They selling albums off of that. You feel what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, people are not really into it no more like they used to be. When you look back in the 90s, that old school money, when people used to get that dollar CD, or they go independent, they get $9 a CD and making $1 million independently, they can't hardly do that no more. Because people say, okay, I tell you what, I buy your CD, I'm finna burn it. My partner finna make him a couple of $100 because he finna sell your CD on the side. You know, it's not like that no more.
That's the whole thing. If you hit it, that's true, and the industry's changed because supply and demand got completely flipped on its head. So it's like, again, I go back to just being an artist. You got to do it, man, because you love it. I mean, you got to just go balls out on it and be like, this is where my heart is, and get the joy in that. Like, you know, it comes back to all that stuff about enjoying the journey because shit, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. To be honest with you, rappers talk too goddamn much. They tell the police everything. They let them know everything we do. Back in the day, they didn't put certain things on records. Now they telling them how we do it, when we do it, and why we do it. And wonder why they getting caught up.
And you know what? I got to agree with you on that because I ain't going to call no artists out. But one specific artist that me and Sham know did that too, and they actually got on there, and they said, oh, you know what, we used to get $3 million for a promotional budget, you know, for our marketing budget. We'd get $3 million here. We wouldn't spend but $1 million, and we'll pocket the other $2 million. Now you don't have your secret, you know, which I already knew that, but a lot of people else didn't. A lot of people didn't even know that.
Can I get y'all's opinion on something? I hope I'm not changing the subject up, what you want to talk about. What's your opinion about artists, you know, talking about drugs and bitches and this and that and da 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 da? And then, you know, when people say, really, is that what you want to put out there creatively? Can't you think of anything else to say? And then they defend by saying, oh, I just rap about what I know. This is all I know. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I think if that's all that person knows, then that's all they know. They can't say
do
nothing.
Do you think that's true? Do you think that's all they know, or do you think they're just hiding behind that?
I think that's probably all they know. If that's all they can talk about, that's all they know. That's just like I was looking at the YouTube thing with Lil Wayne on there. Lil Wayne was on that 8th and Lil Wayne mixing up some lean. He got the lean. He mixing all the lean and shit together inside of a Hawaiian Punch bottle, a big bottle too.
So they know more than that. They think that's the only cool thing to talk about.
But listen,
but that's all they know.
I mean, I kind of agree with him. I think that's the majority of what they know. I think we, you know, once you know, business people and other people that are into this industry of hip hop, you know, we know a lot of other stuff. But I think we get kind of like basketball players, or I hate to say this, but a lot of times you give athletes or even actors or whatever credit because they are quote unquote famous for knowing and a lot of other stuff, and they just simply don't. They know that's what they know. You get upset with an athlete, he does an interview, and the interview is horrible. He's like, good gracious, this guy can probably speak two or three words together. But that is who he is. Ever since he got into D1 football or D1 basketball or baseball, or whatever, he didn't have to do none of that stuff. Somebody did his homework. Somebody, not every athlete, but a lot of them, because I played D1 ball.
A lot of them, because I know when I was at Grambling, that was the same situation. Most of the star football players that were playing, they had somebody else doing their homework.
Yeah.
They put them in classes that had nothing to do with their majors, so
they
could make
The same thing goes. Just because this person is famous and they're X, Y, and Z, don't get next to them and expect them to know something else, to rap about politics or to rap about the problem. You know, give Most Def credit for having a song about the water shortage, because, I mean, how many people know about that? You know what I'm saying?
But even talking about something, and, you know, just, how can I say it? Like, and I see more of it now, so maybe I'm late with the comment, but talk about something that's halfway, you know, positive, and I know that people do. Like, I'm hearing songs now where people talking about having an actual relationship with another human being. That's cool, and I love what Kanye came out and kind of fronted on 50 Cent. Like, you know, really, like, let's talk about death. I know it's cool when you do it on a rap album, but really it hurts when people die, and, like, just really giving a more genuine perspective on life, and I think that, you know, I think that that's important to have a lot of different voices rather than everything is just so, you know.
But you know what? If that's all you know, then that's all you can't say no more. I mean, that's just like old boy was just saying. I mean, if you got a person and all they do is all they know is football and basketball, and they know how to play. Well, I tell you what, if you have this person and they play football, and you can't transition this person over to play basketball because they don't know basketball. My major is marketing. I know marketing, but can't nobody turn me into no rapper because I don't know how to rap.
Okay, but here's the thing, you know, and you're right about that. You're right about, you know, honing and perfecting your craft. But the bottom line, I think the missing link is the craft is digging your experiences from life. So basically what you're doing is whether you're a rapper, you're a comedian, you're a marketing, whatever it is, what you do is you dig into life, and your craft is going to pull out what's relevant to you, and you're going to produce something. So as a rapper, okay, my craft is to rap, okay? And if all I'm doing is going into my life and talking about a certain thing, I guess the question is, are you living anything else? I mean,
that's
have
what
you,
I mean, exactly.
Right, exactly. Are you living... You haven't. You done sold a million copies, but you still living in the bricks.
This
you
is the part of that. That's the difference between great rappers or great artists or artists that just have one or two singles. That's the difference between a rapper that's in one movie and he's playing the character that he is every day, and so he's not really playing the character and Denzel Washington. So it's a spectrum, and we live in a society and a time where we're going to give those rappers or those artists who have it, who don't have the ability to show their full life trail in their music, but as long as they make one or two hot singles, they're going to get their time in their life. But they're probably not going to get five albums. So the thing about it is, both of them are there, but, you know, right now we're living in a singles world. You know what I'm saying? It's a single, and that person is gone. It's a single, and the person is gone. When we come across that person who can share their life experience in other ways through their music, then, you know, we can put that person over here to the side. So there is
big exposure.
It just so happens that we're just getting a lot. There's a lot of singles people coming through right now, and I don't believe anybody is taking their time. You know, I get I don't want to say upset, but I get frustrated from my standpoint where I'm not to call any names, but I'm seeing people who have great opportunities, but I see their numbers. I'm like, man, I can't even get some of my people that are talented a shot when this person only sold 10 or 15 albums nationwide. And I can sell 10 or 15 albums in North and South Carolina alone with the type of support that this person is getting.
Excuse me, we need to take a break real quick because we're going to keep the conversation going on, but we're only going to be live on air for another 2 minutes. So I want everybody to give their name and contact information. But even after we go off of air, we're going to keep going because this whole show is going to be recorded, and they'll be able to go on and hear the whole conversation even if we go off live. But I want everybody to give their contact information so they'll have it while we're on live.
In that flip mode.
Oh, yeah. They'll still be able to hear it because I'm still going to play it, and they'll be able to download the whole show and hear the whole show even after the hour.
Okay. Just go ahead and give contact now.
Yeah, go ahead and give contact.
All right. My name is Omar, McCaleb O, T.E.T. Enormous Team, and Carolina Music Awards Director, 919-413-7401.
Okay.
I'm Adrienne Kelly, a comedian and writer. You can reach me at akaadriennekelly.com.
Okay, Jay.
Hey, L.A. Dre, Interscope, Sucker Free, Flip Mode. You can reach me. L.A. Dre, 09@gmail.com.
Okay.
Contact 404. I should be giving this out. 404-304-7023.
All right, Jay.
All right, it's Jay with the Push Up Boys. You can reach me at pushup@tmail.com.
Yo, this is Lorenzo Sims, Worldwide Lord Gang Comedy in the building. I'm a writer. I'm a comedian. I'm an activist. And I'm a friend of OJ. And you can reach me at lsimscomedy@yahoo.com, or you can hit me at lsimscomedy@yahoo.com.
All right, that's cool. This is the host, LG's Up, the VP of Lord Gang Worldwide and Lord Gang DJs, also the MDS for Radio. But you can reach me at adorablep@gmail.com anytime or hit me on MySpace. But we can go back to our conversation now because we're off live, and this conversation was pretty interesting. So
let's, you know what?
Understand what's going on.
I need to get my MySpace out, too.
Okay.
It's, everybody knows MySpace.com/ L.A. Dre, D-R-E, 09.
Okay, that's cool. But, I mean, a lot of people really need to understand about the new music these days. I mean, I have conversations with artists every day, and one of the first things that I do, I know I had one that hit me up, and he was like, B, I want you to hear my song. I think it's really, really hot. So I went to his MySpace page, and I wasn't even listening a good minute before I stopped it. And I was like, I don't like it. And he was like, what you mean you don't like it? Everybody that hears it say it's hot. I said, I don't like it. He goes, well, what is it that you don't like? I say, don't you have something better to talk about than your cars and jewelry and your money? I was like, ain't it something real out there to you? I was like, people are tired of hearing that. I was like, they want to be able to turn on something on a bad day that's going to get them something positive to look forward to. I say, people want feel-good music. They're tired of hearing about who got shot and when they got shot.
You know what it is, Anita? It's too many yes men out there. You know, back in the day, you didn't have that, and now you got a rapper, and he has like 8 yes men around him. So anything that he pulls out, you know, he got them guys who are just leeching on. So I'm like, yeah, that's hot, that's hot, that's hot. Well, they need to be some people in these people's camp to be like, no, that's not hot. That shit is horrible. You know, and anything, and in sports, you know, when you have these athletes who go on and can't talk on TV, where are their parents, their brothers, their friends to be like, look, dude, you need to get in an English class because you cannot speak. You know, when Michael Vick was fighting them dogs, you know, like, hey, you know what, dude, we can't do this. No, we was doing this when we were poor. You cannot do this right now. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at all the dumb stuff in entertainment that's going on, to me, it's too many yes men. It's too many people who going back whatever the money man is making instead of saying, hey, I really care about you. Dude, you can't do that. Let me pull your coattail. They too busy trying to ride on the coattail.
Yeah, one of y'all are
afraid they're going to get cut off.
Yeah, exactly.
If I agree with him, he's going to cut me off. As long as I keep agreeing, I'm riding as long as he rides.
Right, and then when they get popped, everybody cut off.
That's right. You got to put me in the corner. Either get all the other dudes around and say, look, we got to do something because all of us going to be out in the cold if T.I. get caught with all these guns. I probably wasn't supposed to say that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Y'all talking about, to me, that's the core of where everybody goes wrong with stuff is fear. It's how do you live your life? What fears do you let rule your life? You know, it's like, are you going to be afraid to tell the truth in music? Are you going to be afraid to tell the truth to your friend? Are you going to be afraid to tell the truth when somebody wants you to listen to their music and you're like, you know what, I believe you can do better than that? And it's not about tearing people down or being negative. It's just about what kind of a standard are we holding for ourselves? You know what I mean? Like, I want to be the best I can possibly be, period. If I have people around me who want that same thing from me, then it's going to be all good, even if the first time I tried it, it wasn't perfect.
Yeah, you know, I want the same thing. You know, I want, you know, like I work real close with Renzo. And Renzo is real quick to tell me, nah, B, that ain't right. You know, you think that. You know, but, I mean, I appreciate that because he doesn't just go, well, you know, whatever B say is gold because B said it. No.
Right.
If I'm wrong, he's going to tell me I'm wrong. Even Dre. I mean, I work with Dre, you know. I work with all of them, and I appreciate the fact that they'll tell me, nah, B, you need to go back and think that one over because you didn't think that one through too good, you know.
Right.
But if everybody, you know, step back and stop being so afraid of disagreeing.
Right, you gotta, like we always say, Benita, you gotta be able to agree to disagree.
Yeah,
no, that's
right.
Simple.
And that's the whole thing that you gotta be able to do that.
Right.
Everybody's gonna be on the wrong road.
Right, come on, Chuck D and Flavor Flav never agreed on everything.
And
that's the number one yes man. Flavor Flav was like, okay, Chuck, you can talk about all this political stuff. I'm lamping over here.
Yeah, I'm going to show out. I'm going to get
right.
Show. And y'all, that was all mad at Flavor first.
Yeah.
That's not what they stand for, you know. That's my
right.
man. That's what he's going to do. I disagree with him. That ain't really holding up to P.E.'s light. But, you know, that's what he do.
Right.
I mean,
but
just
you know,
gotta roll
I guess that's like that old saying. What is it? You got to stand for something or fall for everything.
Exactly.
Man, I think you heard that. I did not understand that statement when I first heard it when I was younger. I was
right.
like, what are you talking about? But, I mean, as I got older, you know, I actually understood what that whole statement meant.
Yeah, it's true. And I think as an artist, as a creative person, actually, as any human being that's connected to their heart and their intuition, you can feel when something ain't coming from the right place. You know something ain't right about what you just said or did. You know what I mean? You can feel it. You can feel it. There's a reason you're asking for somebody else to look at it because you didn't know inside yourself for 100%. Because, like, you know, just Lorenzo, you do comedy. You know for sure when there's a topic or an area or a joke or a line that's dead on. You know it. It all resonates. But if you just, when you try to please this person or please that person or come outside of yourself in a way that doesn't feel good and it's not about growth, it's about just kind of following, you know, what somebody else thinks you should do, it don't ever feel right. It just can't.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you because I work extremely close with you, Adrian, on comedy, and I work with Benita, but both of you all have a vicious reality tongue. You know, Adrian, I've ripped off a whole set. Yo, I got some hype new material, and I'll boom, 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 and you look at me and be like, forget about all that. That's horrible. rewrite something else. Like, I didn't even crack a smile.
No, you're exaggerating, because what I'll do, and this is an obligation that a person has when you give notes to somebody about anything that they've created. You say, I didn't like it because X, Y, Z, A, B, C. You give the reasons why, and then if you can think of some, you give suggestions to how to make it better.
Right, but I've ran some stuff past you, and you just said, you know what, delete that out your life.
Yeah, well, you're talking about some, but it's because it's beneath you.
Right, but because of that realism that I have, when I go out on stage, I don't bomb. Because I know by the time I hit the stage, you know, my people around me have given me the real. So I know what I'm working on stage, it really works. And if the crowd don't laugh, they got the problem, not me.
Right.
Some people are afraid of do-overs. A lot of times they won't even add certain people because they don't want to be like, God, I got to go in and put in more work and do this thing over again, which is just basically laziness. So they won't ask they'll add certain people. Because if you ask me, I'm just going to be like, I mean, I don't have any other choice, because from an artist standpoint, especially if it's something I'm working with or something that I'm going to put on my site or put out on my blast or whatever the case may be, that represents me.
Yeah.
If I do, they're going to come in and say, oh, what's this crazy mess on your site? You like this?
Let me tell you, people like that who don't love it enough to go back and redo it when they're lazy as artists, let them go, let them get out there, let them bomb, let them do it in their mama's basement where can't nobody hear them, because that's just creating cacophony out in the world where people who really have something to say or who really love it, they don't need to have to share space with them people. I'm like survival of the fittest when it comes to all that, man. Let them die.
I don't know. My whole thing is when I talk to the artist, I ask them, I say, well, I'm pretty sure when you had a bad day, you picked up a pen and started writing, didn't you? Now, when you had a good day, you picked up a pen and you started writing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. I was like, well, where's that music? And they was like, well, I didn't record it because I didn't think nobody would like it.
Wow.
Absolutely. And how many gangsters are still going to be gangsters when they start having kids? You know, you banging around Christmas. Yes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. I know when I had my first child, man, there was an inner side of me I didn't even know I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was feeling emotions. I'm like, who is this guy? What? Why am I tearing up? You know, why to this day, when my daughter called me at 6 o'clock this morning. Every time my daughter calls me, she's 5 years old, it just does something to me. It almost brings tears to me because she's calling me daddy. Every time she calls me daddy, it just does something to me. You know, and everybody who has kids or whatever you have special in your life, everybody has that, whether it's kids, whether it's a dog, whether it's, you know, nieces, nephews, whatever the case may be. There is something other, you know, just like everybody can be gangster and everybody can be hard, but there's also other side of life and there's other side of realities that everybody has. And some, you know, some people you would think they're not even human. All they do is rep the set. That's all they do. That's all they do, from morning, noon, and night. That's all they do. They wake up crippled. You know, but all that gets old because, you know, it's like you outgrow that. You know, you're going to be 45, 50, 60 years old still crip walking. You're going to be crip walking with arthritis.
No, because with that mindset, see that whole paradigm of that hardcore gangster is a caricature of a being that has no vulnerability and will never get old. And I'm gonna die young, and I'm a writer, and I'm this and that. And that's the reality you want to create. Okay, that's how you spent your life. Fine, but for me, I want something more. Like, and I want to listen to something. And now, don't get me wrong, I listen to the hardcore rap. Because what I love about it is part of it to me is a ferociousness in terms of a will to live. And I love that because I vibe at that. Like, I love life and that kind of underdog triumphing kind of a theme. I love that. It's like, you know, the odds are against me and I'm going to do anything I have to do to survive, which is the basic theme. You know, I'm a writer, so I break everything down into the basic structure of it. And that theme, though, of triumphing no matter what the odds are, I love that, and I think, to me, that's what a lot of what comes across in gangster rap. Now, I don't take it too seriously, though, but I'm grown. I'm not a 10-year-old kid listening to it and not having somebody there to say that's not real. So I understand that it also has a detrimental effect on some listeners.
Right.
You know, the one thing that I feel like really happened with hip-hop is it gave a lot of people that were in the ghetto who felt like they had no way to get out, without robbing banks and selling drugs on the corner. It gave them an avenue to express themselves and to get out and make a better life for themselves. And that's what I really feel like hip-hop did for our community and a lot of the other different communities. Yeah.
But you know what, though, B? You know what? It's also very scary because understand this. One man with a gun can only kill so many. But if you're on a microphone and you're telling people how to kill and you sold 3 million albums, you have a whole army full of people trying to emulate you, you know, to a certain degree. Some might be at the first degree. Some might take it all the way there. You know, so it's like, yeah, people can say it's just music, and yeah, it's just words, but trust me, those words can metamorphosize into some serious stuff out there, you know, which has happened. I mean, I know, I remember when N.W.A. came out, you know, and they was fucking the police. I was in Chicago fucking the police, too, you know, but they was in L.A. going through their things, but I can relate to that. And you know what? When they threw their middle finger up to the police and some of the things they was doing, it inspired me to be like, yeah, me too. You know, fuck them
all.
It's really, you know, you got to be careful of the words that you put out there because it can ignite certain people and really charge them up to do certain things. That's just like in sports. You know, before the game, most athletes, you listen to them songs that get you hype. I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you're about to do something, you know, music and words are motivation. And sometimes, you know, what comes out your mouth could indirectly motivate somebody to take it there. You know, how many times we've been sitting back, you know, you get a little drink in you, you know, if you smoke or whatever the case may be, you start feeling yourself and you hear that song. Like, oh, shit. You know, a song will make you get up and shake your ass, you know, make a head at a party. It'll make you, you know, hit that last set when you're benching, whatever the case may be, man. But it's powerful and it will move you. So you really have to be careful what you're putting out there because you are indirectly responsible for a lot of shit that goes on.
Well, we all need to know our power. I mean, the pen is mightier than the sword, and I think that goes for every person walking around in life, but especially an artist who's going to broadcast their thoughts and their feelings and their angle on life to millions of people. But, you know, that's you and me and everybody on this call. I mean, we all have the power to motivate everybody around us one way or another. And, I don't know, what do you do with it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no.
You just have to keep it positive, you know. Everything is so much negative in the world these days that we need positive people to actually start speaking up. You know,
yeah, that's true.
When you talk to somebody and they're having a bad day, you know, you don't join in there and go, yeah, you know, life is and your life is always going to be fucked up, you know. You know, you got to be positive about it. You know, you got to show them, you know, for every bad thing, there's a good thing, and it's only going to stay negative if you live in the negative. That is always going to be something you can do to change a bad situation to a better situation.
Real talk.
And you know what, Benita, what you just said is cool, but you just said something that was an interesting, it kind of caught my attention. You said you just have to keep it positive. If we take that a step further, I would say, you know what, sometimes we do have to, you know, bring out a little negativity or a little gutterness or a little ghetto-ness, you know, because we as a people still aren't equal. And sometimes we have to stand up and say, yo, we not having this. And by, you know, a little Malcolm X and us, by any means necessary, whatever we have to do to get our point across, like for instance, like Genesis 6, it wasn't negative. It wasn't negative at all, but it was a little bit of, hey, you know what? We not having this, white people, and we're going to tell you on the radio, we're going to tell you on TV, and we coming down there, and whatever y'all want to do, we prepared to do it.
But I don't think that's negative. Is that negative to tell the truth about when somebody transgresses against you? That's not negative.
No, I'm not saying, well, you know what, maybe wrong choice of words, but you know how, like you always have the Martin Luther King approach, you know, no violence and all that. And
you gotta be aggressive sometimes.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly
what
I'm saying. Sometimes you can't turn
sometimes
the other cheek.
Some people. No,
you know, sometimes you gotta knock a motherfucker out to prove a point. You know,
mm-hmm.
That ain't what I planned to do, but sometimes I had to hit him in his mouth.
Right. I don't think that passivity isn't, to me, always the key. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I don't know. I always was told you got to learn to pick your fights.
But don't be afraid to fight.
Well, see, I grew up in a legal background as a paralegal. And me, I just think you're supposed to fight about everything. If it's wrong, fight about it.
Scared of you.
It's an antagonistic society from the gate, from day one. Everything's a debate. Everything's an argument. Let's get it right now, right here.
Yeah, let's get it, you know.
I'm going to let y'all continue arguing.
You know, it's like, why I gotta decide, you know, if I think this is wrong, but I already had three fights about something else, why I gotta be quiet on this one because I already had three other fights this week, you know?
You already juiced up, so you ready to roll.
That's right. Hey, I gotta go, y'all. I appreciate you. You guys are really fascinating to listen to and to be able to talk with, and I want y'all to all have a great, great, great day, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you for coming on the LG's Up.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Okay. But guys, you know, I think it's really important for everybody just to join a lot. You know, there's a lot of different coalitions going on. Everybody's trying to bring, you know, the positive to hip hop and erase this negative feeling that everybody's putting out there about hip hop. You know, because everything is not negative, you know. And that's the picture that they're trying to paint. We need to get rid of hip-hop because it's a negative situation going on around it, and that's not true. Whether it be hip-hop or rock and roll, because, oh, my God, I've heard some songs out there, rock songs, that will definitely tell you how to blow up the world and kill you.
But they're not on
TV fighting about that. You know, they're not putting their lyrics on TV, you know, saying how horrible that was.
And where their concentration is. Their concentration is on the blacks trying to bring us down.
But, you know, the other thing that, you know, easier said than done, you know, we have to do a better job of doing is working to get in control of some of the mechanisms that tried to shut us down. It's like, you know, I do some stuff in TV and film on the other side as well, and, you know, I'm glad that we are now getting into producing our own movies. You know, there's still movies that Spike Lee wants to do that he has to ask somebody else for a green light for in order to get 300 screens across the country in order to put on a movie. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy to me. It's crazy that these guys, all this money, our people haven't gotten together and developed a distribution system. I haven't been in the industry as long as they have. I don't have as much experience as they have, but I know how to develop a film distribution system. Go to every theater, offer the films or offer the reels at a discount rate in order to be able to show them for 2 weeks and beat out the other guys who will charge you more money. It's simple. It's not rocket science. So even with music, the changes in music right now is the best time for us to create our own powerhouses of music so we don't have to depend on the Aristas and the people who are doing all the distribution and controlling the systems so we can decide what goes out. And we still haven't fully, and we have made some strides, but we still haven't fully gone into let's control our own destiny. And I don't know why that is, but I know it's not happening. Huh?
Do we have any other movie theaters besides Magic Johnson as black on?
No.
But you know what though? I tell you what, with the internet is crippling the majors and the powers and empowering the independents such as ourselves, and the internet is putting everybody on an even playing field. To a degree,
you're still gonna have theaters, you're still gonna have distribution systems and it does. I mean, it definitely does. Technology and the internet to be able to get, you know, we use XL2s and you can take digital cameras and pretty much shoot what you can with a film camera and things of that nature. But even with that, we still are a step behind. We haven't, the money brokers haven't gone in the black community, the billionaire people haven't gone and said, you know what, where's our studio? You know,
right.
Tim Reese had a studio, but nobody filmed there.
Right,
it's like, okay,
right.
You know what, Oprah, Denzel, this person, that person, we're going to do one film at least at Tim's studio just on GP.
Right.
You know, I'm like, how hard is that? One film,
Do one film every 2 years at TM Studio, or even better yet, build a studio. It's still
right.
Doing that, and I know more about the film side, but you know that same thing is going through, and we're just not taking those steps. I guess maybe because it's risky. But how much more money do you need to make after you make a certain amount of money to become a scenario where you're doing things for the greater good down the road, and not just everything be a money equation?
Right.
Yeah, that's
right. No, I feel you.
But I mean, if we look at a lot of the black billionaires and millionaires that's out there in the world, if they just turned around and invested back into their own communities, that would be a big step. But they're not even doing that these days. They're like, I made mine, I got my money, I'm putting it in my pocket.
Later.
You know, definitely. So I'm like, man, that is crazy. But you guys, I think in a minute it should be there, because I wanted to reload Baby Sham's new single and definitely play that before, you know, we ended our call tonight, because, like I said, that joint is really hot. You know, I'm going to bring up the switchboard. It should be there for me to press play, and then we'll be all right. We're going to pray about it, you know. But, I mean, it's, like, really been great. And, like, on Sunday night, because on Sunday night, me and Lorenzo host Be Serious, Love, Life, and Relationships. And, you know, we try to hit on a lot of different topics. You know, we cover relationships and life. And, you know, we hit a lot of different things. And a lot of things that I've been hearing, because I've been in and out of different states over the last month, and I've been listening to a lot of people. I've been on a lot of calls. I've been on a lot of chat rooms. And especially with the holidays coming up, you know, I'm finding a lot of relationship issues. So that's what I've been hitting lately. And one of the relationship issues that we're going to hit Sunday, and, you know, we did domestic violence. We did all of that. But a lot of people are sitting there going, you know, how do you end relationships these days? You know, can I just send them a text and say it's over? You know, can I leave them a voicemail and tell them I don't want to be in this relationship no more? You know, so we're gonna hit that on how to end a relationship. And then after the relationship is over, how do you get your life back? You know, what are steps to getting your life back? You know, getting back out there. You know, they got a lot of different dating solutions. So we're also going to handle that online dating. You know, that's going to be another topic that we're going to cover. You know, all these online dating websites, how safe are they? You know, is it something really that we want to do, or should you just get hooked up with your brother's friends, cousin, sister that they introduced you to at a party, you know?
I write a column called Ask a Man, and we just talk about, just tell it like it is. We just tell, and it's mostly women that write in and ask questions or say, you know, my man is doing X, Y, and Z. And next one, what's that? You know, what's going on with it? And, you know, I probably got a lot of people just not happy. But I say, as a guy, this is what's up. You know, and, you know, whether people want to believe it or not, it begins with you. It begins with, especially, well, it's kind of going to opinion, but especially in a, you know, a relationship, the woman kind of, whether she realizes or not, is the guy. You know, and it just kind of goes from there. But I definitely try to call in next week, because that's a very hot topic.
Oh, definitely. Well, you guys, I just learned something very new about Blog Talk, that after your show goes off the air, you can't actually play music. So what I'm going to do is on Sunday night, we're going to start off with Baby Sham's song. That's going to be the first song that you hear. Before you even hear my voice or Lorenzo's voice, you're going to hear Baby Sham and his new record, definitely, without a problem. Because we also got a new one from Frank White with Monica that I'm going to push. And also the Push Up Boys, we're gonna knock them out of the ballpark, too, in our show on Sunday. So, you know, you guys make sure you come back and listen up to the new music. And plus, all three will be on SwerveRadio.com, definitely, going in rotation starting today. So, you know, you guys, I want to thank everybody for coming through. I enjoyed the show today. I hope everybody else enjoyed the show today. And, you know, if you need to reach me, you know how. And peace, love, and happiness. And LG's up, you guys. You guys want to say your goodbyes?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We out.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Everybody stay up. Thanks for the invite, Bonita.
No problem.
All right, fellas.